Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
You know, the 7-point underdog or whatever it is, I mean, I'm not going to sit here and say that I'm shocked about it. They're a really good team. We went there, we lost by a good margin, and, you know, it is what it is. I don't know if I have a chip on my shoulder about it. I mean, I understand how talented their defensive line is, how good they are, and the challenge that it presents us. But we just have to go in there and play our brand of football and everyone's on the same page and just try to execute every play. It's not an easy thing going into their place and winning. Not many teams have done it. Two teams have done it, Atlanta and Seattle. So it's gonna have to be a group effort.
That's my jam right there now.
Wendy's Big Show on the Fan. That's Leroy Butler, Leap 36. Mm-hmm. You can tell us about dancing to a little bit of this. And was this Florida State days, or was this like right after you guys got on the plane here in the 97 title game?
You know what? That thing free. When we saw Brett and Chewy and Frankie, they were playing rock, paper, scissors to get on the plane. I said, what are they doing? I said, what? I don't understand. No one can get on the plane. They're just doing this. You know how you play it, right?
Yeah.
And they said, oh, they're doing that. They're playing for your beer. I said, what beer? Well, they give everybody beer. And Miller Coors give everybody beer, and they know you don't drink, so that your beer is sitting there on the tarmac, just in a cooler, and just sitting there. So they would play rock, paper, scissors. If you lost, okay, well, Brett would play Frankie or whatever. It was just truly amazing. I mean, that's how you celebrate it.
Those guys
everybody
sounded like
the plane
too much
drinking
fun.
But me and Big Dog.
Well,
you know what they have for
so
me.
So that's at least a 12-pack right there.
Oh, easily.
I never even knew how many was a case. They laughed at me. How many is a case? Is that 24?
I hear a case, I think of a 30 rack. But, I mean, a lot of people.
A 30 rack?
A lot of people will say 24. Yeah,
24. A lot of people say 24.
But everybody's wives will pick them up when we landed.
You know the thing about that, though? Because they give you a 6-pack right out of the vat. Out of the vat. I mean, we had them in a big old vat.
What's a vat?
Coming on a pallet, covered up.
Yeah, just with an in ice. Mm-hmm. And Joker got a glove on. He reached down in there and then you hand it to you right before you get on the plane, right? And, you know, I just started thinking about that when Leroy said it. How do you keep it cold?
Well, we had coolers.
We didn't have any coolers. They just read right down in the vat.
Well, Miller Coors gave everybody little briefcase, little thing.
No.
Pampered in the 90s.
They
back in the
80s. Down in the vat
grab it.
Of
no,
ice.
No, we ain't doing that.
Pick it up. Because, you know, you get a 6-pack, they in them little... The plastic, the plastic around them. So
sure.
You just reach in there and grab it and just give it to you. You go on the plane.
Then where did you? Never mind. I don't want
to. That's what I'm trying to figure out. There was no coolers. There was nothing. I just thought of that when you said that. Like, well, we must have been just drinking beers like that.
But how many can you put down?
Smart.
Like before
that's the
you
easiest
can,
way to do it.
You can feel tipsy.
We had a couple jokers that were done with a 6-pack before we even took off.
Right, and then they're like,
how many ounces
more?
Though was it, 12 or 16? No,
12 ounces. Okay. Yeah. I mean, they weren't doing the big dog.
No, we weren't doing the big dog, no.
No, not yet. No. Now, Ben Fennell, I mean, we can ask him how many
it takes. No, Ben don't drink. Ben's just like me.
Ben, how many beers did it take for you to get tipsy? I'm kidding. We won't ask you that. Ben, Packers and Niners here in the NFC.
Let me tell you, I get the no diggity lead into this conversation.
And
I got something for you. I can't top this.
No diggity.
Keep riding, man. I'm hearing more about these 30 racks.
I love this guy, man.
Ben, when you look at the film from that 37-8 beatdown, there really was not anything good to see except, to me, looking back on the game, while the score got completely out of hand, and yes, the Packers got punked on both sides of the line of scrimmage at different points, that game was tight for the first 28 minutes, and then the onslaught of momentum just pretty much blew the Packers out of the water.
Oh, we're talking football today? I thought we were going to talk sign stealing or impeachment or third draft. I guess we do have an NFC championship game this Sunday to talk about.
So. Right.
Go on with your question about football.
It's a lot more fun than talking about sign stealing. But where is the advantage, do you think, for the Green Bay Packers in this game against San Francisco? Because it appears everyone wants to say that there is no clear advantage for Green Bay.
Well, the biggest advantage that I think is that that Week 12 game wasn't the 2019 Green Bay Packers. The game immediately got off on the bad foot with the fumble on the opening possession.
Yep.
Turned immediately into a Tevin Coleman touchdown. They were 1 of 15 on third down, one of Aaron Rodgers' worst passing games of his career on third down. But the weird thing about those third downs, every third down and fourth down was the same boring 11 personnel grouping. That wasn't what Matt LaFleur put on tape the first 11 weeks. And you know what? Aaron Jones, one target, no catches. That's not the formula up into that first 11 weeks. So when I looked at that Week 12 game again this past week, it didn't feel like the same Green Bay Packers that I've been seeing. So when I look for an advantage, I don't think the Green Bay Packers really showed who they really are in Week 12 against the 49ers. They have a lot more to prove.
Does the team that wins this game come, does it come down to who runs the ball the best between the two?
I think so. And both these teams obviously want to establish the run, and then the whole offense opens up. And both teams are going to do everything they can to tie one of their hands behind their back. And I think when you look at the Green Bay Packers offense, I know the 49ers and Robert Saleh, the defensive coordinator, either wants to take away Devontae Adams or take away Aaron Jones. You have to make these teams tie one of their hands behind their back. When I look at the San Francisco 49ers offense, they're a dangerous, dangerous group because they have dynamic, elite two-way players. Kyle Juszczyk at fullback, George Kittle at tight end. It's really tough to know their intent on a down-to-down basis because they have guys that excel in both the run game and the pass game. But first and foremost, you have to stop the run of the San Francisco 49ers, and then the whole offense will start to crumble. But if you let them break off 5 yards of carry – like they did in Week 12, it's going to be a long, long day, just like it was back then. Jimmy G was 6 of 6 on play action for 122 yards, and everything was open. So if you don't stop the run on early downs, it's going to be a long afternoon for the Packers defense.
So bottom line, you're saying make Garoppolo beat you in third and long?
No question. That's the formula. You got to stop the run on early downs, hope to get them to third and medium, third and long situations, which really isn't their formula. They're all about staying on schedule, and for lack of better words, Jimmy G is an elite game manager.
Yeah.
And that's okay. I'm not saying that in a negative sense. They have a great system. Offense doesn't have to be so hard. There's a lot of guys that are schemed open. It's a 60% run offense, one of the heaviest run offenses in the league. And I love watching this team because of the two-way players and the easy yards. Offense doesn't have to be so hard. And that was one of my lines the past couple years, and that it just seems like pulling teeth for the Packers to get explosive plays and chunk plays and to move the ball down the field. Offense doesn't have to be so hard. Get the ball out of your hands, onto the perimeter, into the hands of playmakers. Take your calculated shot. And I think we've seen more of that this year with Matt LaFleur.
Ben, there's a few guys that didn't play. D4 is one of them. The other young man, the linebacker, Tyler didn't play. And then Bulaga, you know, he didn't play pretty much. You know, he had Alex Light in there. Now they got Valdir. It's some different things going on, but at the same time, I still think that I'm putting a lot of this pressure on Aaron Rodgers. He, out of the four quarterbacks, Ben, this guy's kind of the granddaddy of this group. I mean, the more experienced guy, to me, I think proves out. And I think Aaron Rodgers, just don't hold on to the ball, get it out quick. And at the end of the day, it's going to come down to him making plays down the stretch like he did the three first downs on third down that put away Seattle.
No question. And I thought on Sunday was the most glaring example in a game of Aaron Rodgers being productive and efficient in structure. And the second he held onto that ball or his eyes dropped or he looked to break the pocket, you almost just sat back in your chair like, oh, here we go. Because that play almost always ended with a negative result or a throwaway. That was the most glaring case study of Aaron Rodgers needing to play within structure. And if it's not there, 1, 2, 3, progression, get the ball out, just like Tom Brady does, just like Peyton Manning did. As you get into the twilight of your career, you don't hold the ball longer. That's not how it works. Get the ball out of your hands, into these playmakers. And Aaron Rodgers, there's some playmakers around this guy, and he's starting to realize it. And that's the most exciting aspect of 36-year-old Aaron Rodgers is he doesn't have to be a superhero for the Packers to win anymore.
Follow Ben Fennell online at Ben Fennell_NFL. Ben, 36-year-old Aaron Rodgers, 37 years old was John Elway when he made his final two Super Bowl runs. At this point in his career, if Aaron goes and is able to get this done this weekend and goes to his second Super Bowl with this group, with Matt LaFleur in his first year as head coach, would this be the best achievement of his career outside of the Super Bowl, or does it stack right up there with it, even if win or lose in 54?
Yeah, those conversations of different years and, you know, where how do you kind of stack the pecking order of accomplishments with these quarterbacks are always tough. And that's kind of the nature of sports and trying to figure out the pecking order and the rankings and who was more involved, you know, the coach or the quarterback or the receivers. And I think 2019 Aaron Rodgers is his most impressive season so far. I think in 2011, his ability to play out of structure and improvisationally, he was young, he was spry, he was athletic, he had the strongest arm on the planet, and it was exciting to watch. And his transformation over this past year, I think, is the biggest story people really aren't talking about. And it's that same conversation I keep going back to, the process versus the results. And the results are drying up. We're starting to look at the process, and Aaron Rodgers needs to change his process. And that change and that adaption and that in-structure play that we've seen a little bit more in 2019, I think is the biggest story people really aren't focusing on. Everybody wants to go back to, hey, we're going to see playoff Aaron Rodgers. What does that mean? What is playoff Aaron Rodgers? I want to see 2019 Aaron Rodgers. I want to see 36-year-old Aaron Rodgers get rid of the ball, play within structure, and get the ball to these playmakers around them. Because we've seen 21 touchdowns to the guy next to him in the backfield from Aaron Jones. We've seen Devontae Adams generate big play after big play down the field. There's some talent around Aaron Rodgers, and he knows it.
If you're the Packers defense and you're Mike Pettine, how do you go about attacking this Niners offense when you got to worry about that running game, got to worry about Kittle, got to worry about the speed of Emmanuel Sanders, Deebo Samuel? How do you go about it?
Listen, they're loaded. They're a tough team. They're a tough offense. They haven't had many adversity or struggles in games this year. But I'm not going to be a reactive defense like most defenses in the NFL are. And that's what I've seen from Mike Pettine down the second half of the year, an aggressive attacking approach, even on first down, not waiting for that perfect situation of third and medium and third and long to deploy his pressure package and get after the quarterback. No, no, no. He's going to start attacking and dictating the action on early down and moving around to Darius Smith and essentially turning him to an A-gap battering ram and just blowing up run plays, blowing up blocking schemes. And when you have those guys moving around, slanting, a lot of post-snap movement, not really where they were with the pre-snap, those types of movements on defensive lines are zone run game killers. And I think Mike Pettine needs to do everything he can to change the picture from pre-snap to post-snap. And that particularly will be with Za'Darius Smith moving around and being aggressive and attacking, not just on third downs, but on early downs as well.
You know what we haven't seen a lot of lately, and I guess it's not a bad thing, but not a whole lot of noise out of Jerry Alexander as of late, or Amos.
Yeah, and I think that's kind of the nature of defensive backs. I think no news is good news kind mm-hmm. of thing. And I think when that name's starting to get called, it's typically for the wrong reasons. And I thought they did a really good job last week, especially late into the downs. Russell Wilson dropped back 43 times. 37 out of 43, he held the ball over 2.5 seconds. He was looking down the field, holding the ball, waiting for that big play. And I thought those guys on the back end really locked down the coverage and forced Russell Wilson to kind of eat the ball on a lot of those situations. Mm-hmm. So when the coverage is good on the back end and the quarterback's scrambling around for an extra second or two, typically the TV broadcast isn't going to call out the coverage on the back end and the corner's name and the safety. So I think they're doing a good job on the back end, just maybe not making those splash plays that show up on SportsCenter.
At @BenFennell_NFL is where you follow him on Twitter and his film
Ben,
breakdowns.
You've been good all year, my brother.
Of the Green Bay Packers. Ben, one more time, who gets it done, Packers and Niners this week in Santa Clara?
Well, I think I'm going to go with a Packers late game victory, 31-30, a nice Mason Crosby field goal as time expires, and I would love to see a Super Bowl I rematch, Chiefs-Packers, here in the NFL's 100th season.
Oh, don't everybody.
That's just perfect. That is platinum. Yeah. Ben, you are platinum as well, my friend. Mm-hmm. Appreciate the time, brother.
Thanks, guys.
That's Ben Fennell at @BenFennell_NFL, where you go follow him on Twitter and his film breakdowns of your Green Bay Packers as they get ready to have a chance to go to the Super Bowl one more time.
If it all works out like that, Packers Chiefs.
Yeah.
100 right? year.
Unbelievable.
Leap year.
Mm-hmm.
Roy gets in. I mean, come on, cuz.
Yeah. We're going to hear a lot of this. No more. I'm going to drink my beer to the green and gold. I'm going to scream till I can't no more. I got the cooler in the bag.
It's horrible. Why would you play Bonkers next?
It's just horrible.
Hey, the Bucks won 60 games off of Bonkers.
There it is. How do you not love this?
I love it. I like this. Benny Lambo
sleeping. Hey. Hey. See if they can catch him sleeping one more time. Hey. Wendy's Big Show, 105.7 FM, The Fan. We got another chance for you to win money. And in a half hour, we get our last update live from Lambo with Ryan Wood on the Wendy's Big Show, 105.7 FM, The Fan. Packers catch your team sleeping.
Then they Lambo. This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.